At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Wednesday evening, November 3rd, 2021, the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, from the South Point Hotel Casino. You may have noticed the night before we usually do this, and not at the D, but at the South Point, because we're accommodating Mike Palm's itinerary. He's got a big week. We'll get into that momentarily. Skill Alexander, thanks for listening. It's week 9 in the National Football League. Staples of the show are the guys on Skype. Guests on the show today are the guys with me at the South Point. First, the Staples in his mom's cork attic there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It's Todd Wishnev. How you doing, Toddy? Todd?
Hi, Gilly, Iceman, Icerson. I just want you to know the Pittsburgh Steelers are a real organization. The Washington football team is not a good organization. Enough said. Thank you.
It's like 20 seconds into the pod. People are turning it off already after that. And Mikey, Mike Palm, Derek Stevens Consigliere, the VP of Operations at Circus Sports. Would you like to tell everybody why you are in Washington, D.C.?
Well, that. Thank you, Gil. I'm in your stomping grounds here. I've been appointed to the board of directors of the American Gaming Association, and we have an annual meeting here tomorrow at the Kempton Monaco Hotel in Washington. So I'm here, and then after the meeting, I fly to Iowa to help promote the launch of Circus Sports in Iowa. So it's a tremendous week for me.
Wow. That's
another way of saying doing the Lord's work, of course. Beautiful job.
Indeed.
That's a pretty big honor, isn't it, Mike, to be on the board of directors?
Oh, yeah. There's some heavyweights of the gaming industry on this board, and this is our chief lobbying body. So it was an honor, and hopefully we can enact some change that will affect everyone positively.
Positively. That's right. Okay. And the guests of the show today. And it's kind of a sort of good accident to have you there and not be able to do the show on Thursday morning, because Las Vegas Chris, who's been on the show many, many times before, multiple contest winner here in Las Vegas at the Palms, he's won the Wynn before, last man standing college football over there at Stations. Of course, he finished second and fifth in Circa Millions last year in Circa Millions too. He does a podcast with Adam Chernoff the same time we do it on Thursday, so we weren't going to be able to have him this year, but because we switched to Wednesday, Las Vegas Chris in the house. How you doing, man? You good?
This is fraud. I was told there was an open bar.
we can arrange for that.
Okay, I'm waiting.
Let's make it happen. South Point people, maybe not.
Good to be here. Thank you very much, Gil.
Thank you very much for being here. And Jeff Parlay, everybody, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers, also on the show. Thank you, Parlay.
Of course. I can't pass up an opportunity to be on the show and an opportunity to see the cork attic behind Todd.
You can't pass it up. You've been in the cork attic.
I have, yes, actually.
He showed up behind you one day last year during the podcast.
And then Todd totally beat my ass in tennis that day.
Because he's
really
because he's 10 feet tall at the net. There's nothing you can do.
Is he really
today?
Good at
I played tennis. Guess what the weather was? What the degrees were outside when
wait,
I played tennis?
Wait, hold on. Could you, Chris, repeat what you just said?
Is he really good at tennis?
He's so incredulous.
Let's put it this way: for someone, and Todd has lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
When Todd was a little bit bigger than he is, he was significantly better than you would have ever expected anyone of that weight to be at tennis.
Yes.
I remember playing poker with these fat, pudgy guys, 15 years older than I was at the time in my early 20s, and we're talking racquetball. And these guys wanted to gamble on racquetball, and I was playing a lot of racquetball at the time. And I thought it was the easiest money I could ever make.
Oh, yeah.
Just wiped me out. I was so just like 15-2, 15-1. You know,
Chris, that's why I do the tennis barnstorming tour. Gil will tell you all about my tennis barnstorming when I gamble with people in tennis and they think they can play me and they get romped.
Sometimes he's so big that you can't see the sun at a certain point. So he's like,
is he a moon ball?
No, Mike Palm tried to beat him with the moon ball strategy. That didn't
that won't work.
But Todd will employ the moon ball strategy against you.
Todd can't return my serve, trust me.
Oh, wow.
Okay, all right, there we go. Wow.
Shots
fired, Chris. Today I played, it was 46 degrees out. So I am dedicated to this.
Oh, he's ready to go then, Gil.
For you. Okay, so we want to get to week nine, because week nine, we're going to get to Survivor, which is just nuts this week. We're going to get to everything, our three best bets, teasers, last two questions, big favorite, most likely to lose outright, of course, team you want no, or game rather, that you want no part of. But first, Mikey, a Circa Survivor update. We finally had carnage.
Yeah, we did. The Cincinnati Bengals took out a huge portion of the field, over 41% last week. And then some other folks getting eliminated along the way with some nervy plays. So, Gil, we're finally down to less than what we started with last year.
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
The exact number, by the way, because I actually wrote it down because I was curious myself. We started last year with 1,300 and how many last year?
1,390.
We're down to 1,188, I believe. 1,188.
But it's not apples to apples because people have used up tons of teams.
Yeah, so we started with 4,080 this year. Circa Survivor did, not we did, but it started with 4,080 exponentially, you know, almost four times more this year. But the Bengals alone took out 40.9% of the remaining entries this past week. 44.2% total were eliminated this past week. So 1,188 left. Todd, and by the way, how many people didn't submit, Mike?
Well, see, this is where people were going on and on about. There were seven entries not submitted, but one person had five of them.
Oh, man. Ugh. Did you talk to that person?
He came down at 10 after 3 or 3:20 or whatever and was very angry with us that we wouldn't let him in.
This is your fault.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, poor dude. Well, not
he was in a poker tournament. That was his excuse. He's a poker player.
Breaks in poker tournaments. They have bathroom breaks, and they have something called the blinds. You can just get up and walk away.
Don't they have an app also that you could handle on your hand?
If there was only an alarm on your phone.
Yeah.
He was mad. He said, how come at 2:50 he didn't get a call, a courtesy call? Yeah, we're going to call 2,400 people.
Jeez.
How come I didn't get a call when I took the Raiders? How come somebody didn't call me?
He called you. He tried to tell you, Todd.
Oh, okay. Well, listening to a guy like that who's extremely reasonable should have.
All right, Todd. What is our court stenographer? What was our records last week?
Well, I want to give a little congratulations to my good friend Gilly the Iceman Cometh for a big week last week, going 2-1 with the Niners, Carolina, losing with the Jaguars. He lost his teaser to go to 5-2-1. He won 2 out of 3 regular, so he's 9-15. He's right back in the hunt. Wait, because me and Mikey took 0-3s.
Oh.
Absolutely blasted. I took a very bad beat in Las Vegas. Chris is going to get mad at me, but I did take a very bad beat in the over 50.5 in the Green Bay game. And then the other two were whatever. And Mikey really was on the wrong side of everything. He had the Chargers -5, Washington football team over, Cincinnati -10.5. Actually, we'll give him that one. He might have covered on the Cincinnati -10.5. But the bottom line is Mikey is now 11-12-1. I am 10-14. So wow. It's all getting tight on the regular thing. On the teasers, I am still in first place at 6-2. Mikey at 5-3. Gilly right behind at 5-2-1. So it's very tight on the teasers as well.
So I'm in second. Half game out, Mikey.
Second on teasers, yeah. And you are third on picks, but you're right there in striking distance. And I have a feeling Mikey's going to have another bad week because he's out there, hanging out with the grand poobahs to try to help the giant corporations, gambling corporations that need help.
Chris, you had a comment for Todd's bad beat remark?
No, I don't mind people mentioning a bad beat and moving on from it. It's the
people who moan about it.
Oh, God. Act like you've won before. I mean, seriously, it's just infuriating.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Go on my Twitter if you want to see my moaning and bitching.
I don't know. I just can't take it. I really can't. I mean, it's part. People always forget about the great beats they have, and they want to piss and moan endlessly about the bad beats.
Total.
And if you're any good at what you're doing, you're going to put yourself in position for more of them. So
it's totally true.
That is true.
The confirmation. That's what I said earlier. You didn't give me credit for it. It's a confirmation bias of only recognizing the beats that go against you rather than the ones that are in your favor. Totally. Totally believe that. Let's start with the best bets. Chris.
Wait, what about Thursday night?
Oh, Thursday night. Thank you, Todd. I really should know the format of this show. Thursday night, it is the Jets at Indianapolis. The Jets coming off the Mike White game, 405 yards passing, the most ever for a rookie in his debut, with the exception of Cam Newton's 420 in his rookie debut years ago. The most passing yards for Jets quarterbacks is Vinny Testaverde in 2000. They beat the Bengals. That was the source of most of the survivor carnage. But Indianapolis coming off the loss in overtime to the Titans, where Carson Wentz had maybe the worst interception I've ever seen in my life, then another one in overtime. But the Colts scored two more touchdowns by just chucking the ball up the field and having a D-back on the other team run into their receiver. That's their best play. The Colts are 10.5-point favorites in this game. Chris, any play
10
on
and
this?
A half and 11, yeah.
Any play on this at all? This doesn't have to be one of your bets, but just curious about Thursday.
No, I can't play a game like this because, Wentz starts the season as chump, then he's a hero, and now he's a chump again. You've got more injuries going on with the team, and this team is by far so much better than their record has indicated. It's just a shame that they don't have a better record. But you don't know. The Jets are getting stronger on defense, and they may show up. With that kind of point spread and that type of game, how can you really, convincingly play either side? And I'm not much of a totals guy, so I can't comment on that.
Parlay, you playing it?
I want to, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
How much of what we saw last week is just a total aberration from Mike White, and how much of it is real? I have no idea. Because at least when he came in the game against New England, the first throw looked confident, the touchdown to Davis. He looked confident until about midway through the third quarter, and then the wheels completely came off in that game. But he was great the whole game against Cincinnati.
Was.
Both the first interception just led Crowder a little too much heat, deflected ball, fluky. Second one, total fluke playoff, Carter's helmet, fluky. Other than that, he was basically perfect. 8 incompletions on 45 attempts.
It's amazing.
Absolutely incredible. But look, the Jets have gotten destroyed on the road. They're minus 72 point differential in traditional road games this year. So I have no faith in that coaching staff to get them ready on a short week on the road.
And they have tape on Mike White now, which is the other big thing. Todd or Mike, any play on this game? Mikey,
you want to go first?
I'm taking the Jets, but not as one of my best three plays. I think this is too many points. I think that's a devastating emotional loss for the Colts to come back on a short week. And give Mike White credit. He was terrific. He threw for 400 yards after 38 years ago leading Illinois to the Rose Bowl. So credit to him.
Great. A old coach reference. Chrissy Andrews, who I do guessing lines with, who runs the South Point Sportsbook, said he had some story where, like, his relatives and their friends were, like, trying to blend in with Americans. They all had, like, fake American names. And they asked one of them, they're like, what's your name? He's like, Michael White. So he has a Mike White story, too. Todd, anything on this?
Mike White, I remember him at Western Kentucky. And maybe he's like a poor man's Drew Brees.
I remember him, too.
You know. you know, the sometimes I think these NFL teams, they get too enamored of the, you know, it's almost like the non-money ball. Oh, the guy looks like a great quarterback. You know, it's the same reason Tom Brady went in the sixth round. Now, I'm not saying Mike White's going to be great or anything, but he did play on a team where he had to make a lot of decisions from the quarterback position, and he did it very, very well at Western Kentucky. Now, obviously, he probably doesn't have all the tools that they look for in an NFL quarterback or something, but you know what? He might be good because I remember that Western Kentucky offense being very, very good, and maybe he'll be okay until they figure him out, or maybe he'll just be okay, period.
All right. Best bets of the weekend. Let's have one from you, your top bet, Chris.
It's in no special order.
In no special order. Okay, that's fine. We'll ask you later to rank.
All right, I'm picking the game where both teams have lost seven games in a row.
Oh.
And one of them is number 32, and one of them is 31 on my rankings. Offensively, one team is 30th, the other one is 31st. Offensively, and then defensively, exactly the same. So my philosophy is, when you can take points with two bad teams, you take the points. So I'm taking Houston.
Wow. Regardless if it's Davis Mills or Tyrod Taylor.
The line's inching up. So I'm kind of thinking it might not look good for Tyrod. I don't know.
That's what it sort of indicates.
Yeah. So, but you know what? You don't bet bad teams unless you're getting points from other bad teams, although that backfired last week with Philadelphia and Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So I'll do the square I'm due theory.
Yeah. That happened in Seattle, Jacksonville too last week. That was like the bad teams looked horrific.
Awful.
So what are we giving him? 6.5 or 7, Gilly? What
six
do you have?
Six and a half, it is.
I see 6.5.
Six and a half, Tom.
So we'll take Houston plus 6.5.
All right, Jeff Parlay, your first pick.
We're going to go back to the Brandon Staley well and the L.A. Chargers laying only 1.5 on the road at Philadelphia. Look, I have said it with you, Gil. I've said it in our numerous phone conversations that Wes Reynolds and I have had trying to figure out our Circa Millions picks. The Eagles, to me, are a bad football team. They are poorly coached. That defense only performs well against bad offenses. And we saw it last week against a bad offense in Detroit. That defense looked absolutely spectacular. Jalen Hurts threw for 107 yards last week. And they scored 44 points.
It's amazing.
Jalen Hurts against good teams this year, Gil, has looked abysmal. Now I know the Chargers can't stop the run, and the one thing Hurts does well is move with his legs and actually create some plays with his legs. But in the end here, the Chargers offense is going to look better than it did last week against New England and the week before that, before the bye with the Ravens. So get right a scenario where, for me, the Chargers, if they're anything like the team we thought they were 3 weeks ago, they'll go on the road and handle their business and cover 1.5 in Philly.
All right, Chargers. That's the most interesting line of the week to me. Most interesting line of the week. American Gaming Association Board of Director, Mike Palm, you're first.
Todd, what is the line, current line, on the Vikings and Ravens?
I love when he asks.
Six.
I have 6 too.
We heard from Chris. Yeah, we heard from Chris. All right.
I have 6.
I'm gonna lay 6. I think you know what I did? I did not see much of the Cowboys Vikings game on Sunday night because it was Halloween and I was trying to trick or treat with my son. Look, that's a bad loss for the Vikings. I watched the game on the plane ride on NFL Network. They were replaying it. That's a bad loss for the Vikings to Cooper Rush.
Horrible loss.
It's a horrible loss. And now compound that with the fact that you go into Baltimore, the Ravens are off a bye week and off a home loss to the Bengals. A bad spot anyhow. Look, Cousins, I'm starting to agree with Todd Wishnev. This Cousins is just not good. I mean, he wants to check it down and check it down and check it down and check it down, even against non-elite defenses. I think this game is a total rout. I don't think that Mike Zimmer can kick enough field goals in the first half to keep them in the game against the Ravens, and I'll lay anything less than a touchdown here.
All right. On the Ravens. Yeah, the Vikings.
Welcome to the Hey Kirk Cousins show, Mikey. I love it.
Here's the thing, though. Like, that coaching staff from Mike Zimmer, Clint Kubiak, it's so bad. They were 1 of 13 on third downs in that game against Dallas. They could not have looked worse. I don't really know if it's a Kirk Cousins thing. I really don't.
He stinks, Gilly. You know he stinks.
I endured years of him in D.C.
Why isn't it the Dallas defense?
The Dallas defense deserves credit.
Yeah. I had no fear that the backup quarterback was going in. I really felt Dallas was going to win the game anyway.
Yeah.
Dallas is a solid, solid team.
Well, they are. They're a top five team for sure at this point. Todd, your first pick?
I'm going to go back to the well with the game I lost last week, which was the Houston Texans again. I'm going to go under in their game against the Miami Dolphins, another team that sucks, but I think they can keep Houston out of the end zone. So give me under. I believe the number is 45.5. Under 45.5 because the Texans can't score. Thank you.
It's 46 here. Yeah, I think South Point.
Todd, I think we'll give you the extra half point.
Don't sing it again, though.
Give me the 46. You know what? I just think that Houston games are under games. The only way they go over is when ridiculous stuff happens at the way end, like what happened last week against the Rams. Houston just cannot score. I don't care how bad Miami is on defense. I still don't think Houston can score. And these teams are worse on offense than they are on defense. So give me under 46 in the Houston-Miami game.
Under 46, Houston-Miami. Man, multiple bets on the poo-poo platter game between the Texans and the Dolphins. All right, what is the line for, what is the current line? Is it 7.5, Kansas City hosting Green Bay?
That's what I see.
Here it is 7. There are 7.5s in the world, though.
What's the consensus?
I would say almost everybody has 7.5 except for 1 or 2 7s.
Okay, so 7.5 it is. Give me the Jordan Love-led Green Bay Packers.
Whoa. Oh, you're going with the Packers?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that, listen, the Aaron Rodgers news came down this morning on a numbers game. Jeff and I, Parlay and I, we navigated through that whole thing. Yes, the difference in the line between Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, we expected the market to react as it did, and it did, in fact, go 7.5 points towards the Chiefs. I had the Chiefs in Survivor on Monday night. Anybody who had to endure that knows just how diseased that football team is. They are so bad right now, like to the point where it's very difficult for us to purge from our brains how good they were to how bad they've become. Andy Reid is not content with a running game. They were very effective on the ground in that one touchdown drive against the Giants the other night. He wasn't content with it. Patrick Mahomes is extremely loose with the football. He's extremely impatient. Defenses have realized that the blueprint is don't blitz Mahomes, double Tyreek, double Travis Kelce. I think the Packers are going to really treat, like they are very pumped, I think, in some weird way to be able to have this challenge a week after they had, you know, by the way, they're on extra rest here, a week after they didn't have Devontae against the Arizona Cardinals and knocked them from the ranks of the unbeaten. I think that they cover this number here. And by the way, if I were a Survivor player and I'm tempted by Kansas City, I would caution people not to be tempted by them. That's how much I think the Chiefs have fallen. So I'm taking Green Bay plus the points, my first.
They're impatient. By the way, I couldn't agree with you more, Gilly. They're the most impatient football team ever. They could run the ball for 100 yards of play, and they don't do it because they're impatient. They want to look superstarish. They want to look and throw the ball all over the place. If they would just run the ball, they could score every time.
There's another thing going on. When RG3 had his Rookie of the Year season in 2012, and then he got hurt, and people love to bust on RG3, and it's the most unfair thing that they could ever say about him. He got hurt. The rest of his career was ruined. But when he came back from the injury, his mechanics were never the same. He just was a terrible, you know, mechanical quarterback. Patrick Mahomes is making all these great, beautiful sidearm throws and everything, but you watch him now, he is like, if you listen to Kurt Warner on the radio broadcast, Kurt Warner was a Hall of Famer, was very clear to say, hey, look, I'm not Patrick Mahomes, I never was. But like, there are some open throws that his mechanics just suck, and that's very difficult to recapture. I know it's Jordan Love. I don't know what we're getting with Jordan Love, but give me the 7.5 points.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Gil, one last thing on Kansas City, though, that I'm curious to what the group thinks here. Because Travis Kelce's deteriorating health and deteriorating skill is what stood out to most to me so far this year.
Interesting.
Because Kelce looks like, remember at the end of his Gronk's tenure in New England, where his back just basically gave out and he couldn't move? I don't think Kelce's hurt to the extent that Gronk was, but he really looks like Gronkowski. I don't know how much of that is that defenses are doubling him more, but he doesn't get open anymore.
I will tell you, my answer to that is I noticed his facial expressions and his body language. He looked like way too negative for what was happening. Like, he just didn't have any interest in fighting through the predicament he found himself in. That was my reaction to it. I'm not sure what anybody else thinks.
Did you see Andy Reid at the press conference? Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen him in a while. He looked 5 years older than the last time I saw him. And he just really eluded no confidence whatsoever. He was just it was like, oh, my God, what's going on there?
Lombardi had an interesting comment. I asked him a couple weeks ago about that. Lombardi said, what was it, who was it, Mike, who died in his family? Who was that?
His son.
You just wonder if, like, that affects him in a way that we've, like, almost forgotten about how a human being would be affected.
He looked 5 years older in a year. He really does.
And also, too, one of his sons passed away from an overdose, and then his other son was just in that horrible potential DWI crash in Kansas City that left a young girl basically brain dead, too. So it's definitely there, and you're right. He looks significantly older than he did in the post-game press conference last year in the Super Bowl.
Chris, number two, sir. You're so shocked that we came back to you.
No, I was going to crack.
Did we want a snake, or can Chris go second? We'll snake the next time.
Chris, were you going to say Andy doesn't exactly eat the most healthy?
I was going to make an off-color reference to the number two, but the pick is better than a number two, I think, and I'm going with Buffalo over Jacksonville.
Oh, wow!
And
laying the wood.
Yeah, because here's the thing. If you go back and you look at how many bad teams there are each year, it's typically four. This year, it's more than four. The difference between the haves and the have-nots has grown. And unfortunately, I have weeded out all double digits from my play, from even considering for my plays. And this year, I'm throwing them back in because it's like college football. It's getting to be like college football. You can lay the 10. You can lay the 14.
Yeah.
And these teams are not remotely close at all. And this is the game before, I think, Jacksonville goes on a bye. They didn't prepare. They came off the bye and did that in Seattle.
Horrible.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
These teams are not in the same hemisphere.
And Urban Meyer down 24 gets the touchdown and kicks the extra point. I know you're not going to win, but can you at least act like you're? And then they kick the onside kick afterwards. Like, you got to do one or the other. You can't not try and then try. Chasm between the ever widening chasm between the haves and the have nots. Copyright A Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mikey, you're number two. No, Jeff, you're number two first. I'm sorry.
I concede to Mikey.
All right, concede to Mikey.
I'm going to see where he goes, and then I'll pick.
Mikey, number two.
As long as I'm before Tom.
Look at it. It's interesting that Jeff mentioned Andy Reid's other son and the DUI and the girl. I think this is much worse situation for the Raiders having to deal with Ruggs killing somebody than what Gruden said in an email about rubber lips or fag or whatever. I mean, you're dealing with a teammate who's thrown his life away and a girl and her dog, a 23-year-old girl.
Horrible.
And her dog burn alive. He's got people that don't live in Vegas don't understand how you can go 160 miles an hour in rain. But it's impossible. It's a residential area where there's a light, you know, every 150 yards. And so I think this is, and you heard in David Carr's comments how much more difficult dealing with this is than dealing with Gruden. And Todd can tell you what a tough time they had dealing with Gruden in that game with the Bears now. And that was a home game. They have to fly across the country and play the New York Giants. Give me the Giants and 3 points here.
You know, we had Bryant McFadden, the former NFLer, two-time Super Bowl champ on Primetime Action tonight. And he said the same. He's like, because we just want to get a player's perspective on it. He's like, oh, the John Gruden thing is sort of like a rallying thing for players. This, you're just catatonic. My word, not his.
By the way, do you guys have Giants +3 or do you have them +2.5? Because I have mostly +2.5 almost everywhere.
I see 2.5. What do you
guys? Mikey, you still wanted the 2.5, Mikey?
+3.
Yeah, I'm taking it.
Yeah, it's three even.
It's three even.
Yeah.
Or 2.5.
Give him
-20.
Todd, your call. What are you giving him?
I mean, I see you make the call because it's 2.5 almost everywhere I see. But you make the call. I don't care.
What are you seeing most of?
It's split based off of right. Where out
give,
here it's
give three. Him the three. Give
yeah.
him the three.
Yeah, out
give
here it's three. It's a lot of three.
He
even.
Gets the three.
Yeah.
We'll give him the three.
You know, the thing, and we won't belabor it, but we, you know, it happened in on an intersection that most of us have driven on many, many times. And the notion that, I just want to say this, the notion that he was going 156 miles per hour. First of all, did you know that a car could even go that? Like a normal
car? He was probably blacked out. He was probably blacked out drunk and just put his foot all the way to the bottom, no?
No. Hey, I tweeted out a video because I did the route this morning,
mm-hmm.
and I tweeted out a video that started just before Tropicana on Rainbow heading.
Oh, you did? You?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was shocked because one would have thought that he would have passed a light and then gunned it. Let's just say he goes through the intersection at, let's just say, 70, right? And then guns it, right? No. Because the point of contact, and if you look at the video, is 1 second of travel time past Tropicana. So he had to have gone through the intersection at that 156. Because
so why couldn't he have just put his foot all the way down like way before?
Because the airbags went off at 126 or 127, so or 122. Wow. So he slowed down, and you can see it, and all the red marks and all the green marks of where the point of collision is so close to the intersection based on that speed. It's really alarming. It was horrible.
Absolutely horrible. Like, just the worst thing. And imagine, just imagine her final moments. So Mikey's going with the Giants in a play against the Raiders who are dealing with that. And when we say dealing with it, let me just be clear. We realize the worst part of this is the death of that young lady and her, you know, innocent as could be. Could be anybody sitting at that intersection at 3:39 in the morning. Todd, your play.
Wait, hold on.
Oh, no, Jeff goes before Todd.
I'm going before Todd here.
Pardon me.
man, I like too many favorites this week. That's all I'm going to say going through this. I'm going to lay the 3.5 on the road with New England at Carolina. Belichick has that defense looking like a New England defense again. It's one thing to go and do that against Zach Wilson and Mike White coming off the bench cold. It's another thing to go on the road and make Justin Herbert look terrible.
Yeah.
And the Patriots defense made Justin Herbert look terrible. Now, I don't know who's playing quarterback yet for Carolina, but I frankly don't care. Because if it's Darnold, we've seen Darnold. Darnold legitimately saw ghosts against Belichick in
this
the past.
This is a Jets fan talking.
And P.J. Walker, as much as I would love to see P.J. Walker succeed, he has no chance against that defense. And we don't know. And McCaffrey, I know may or may not be there, but he's not going to be 100%, even if he can play in this game. And even though it's on the road with a rookie in a team that you don't see very often, Belichick has that team in the right direction, and that defense, more importantly, looks like a New England defense again. I'll lay 3.5 on the road with the Pats at Carolina.
I am jumping in because that, too, is my number two pick. I am taking New England as well at Carolina for much of the reasoning that that Jeff came up with. McCaffrey looks like he will play in this game, but Bill Belichick will absolutely make sure that's not the guy that beats him. And if it's DJ Moore that leaves, you know, to run amok, I don't have any confidence that either P.J. Walker or Sam Darnold can get that done against Belichick. So it's New England laying the points. What's the number on it for us?
3.5.
3.5 it
well,
is.
Well, I'm going to jinx us all because I'm going to add to that.
Oh, okay.
New England was going to be my third. They've gained 6 points of value against the average team over the last 5 weeks on my chart. And Carolina's lost 6 points over the last few weeks. And we all know they're an entirely different team without McCaffrey. But, you know, going into this season, you knew the Patriots were supposed to come in and have that strong offensive line that would get the job done. And they're doing it finally. They didn't do it early. They played Miami in that first game, and Miami was not the Miami we know them to be now. They had the aura.
Right.
They had the confidence. They had the players that started and got hurt afterward. So, you know, just because they played Miami, you can't make fun of that loss. I think that they're by far the top trending team in the NFL right now. I think they're dangerous. And I think potentially if Buffalo, you know, fell asleep, they'd catch Buffalo.
We have to invoke the Megapod rule. When three people are on the same play, it has absolutely no chance of winning.
Yeah.
But that's where we are. That's
final
where we
score,
are.
Final score, New England 24, Carolina 21.
That's right. Guaranteed to happen. All right, Todd, you're number two.
Wait, so is that your official third pick?
That's Chris's
yes,
official
is.
Third. We're still coming. There's still a couple more.
My number two pick is going to be, I'm going to talk to you about bad organizations and good organizations. There are good organizations like Circa Sports. There are bad organizations like, I don't know,
Don't.
What?
Okay, go ahead. Well,
I wasn't even thinking of the one you're thinking
no,
of.
No, I'm not. It's not what I was thinking. I was thinking what you were thinking it was.
No, I know what you were thinking. I was thinking, but yeah. I wasn't thinking that.
Okay.
But anyways, there are bad organizations as well. And we have the same thing in the National Football League. We have bad organizations like the Washington Football Team. There, we know our good friend Gilly Ice loves that organization. And you have good organizations. And good organizations are the Pittsburgh Yinzers. The Pittsburgh Yinzers get W's even though they have no business getting W's because they're a strong organization. Now, I also would like to take all Yinzers to task for saying that Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, was a bottom three quarterback in the league.
That was Matt Brown who said that.
Okay. Anyways, the point is, it's not his fault. Our offensive line is struggling, but because we're a strong organization, we have a good defense, we have a coach that knows how to get W's in the John Fox way of not making mistakes and just letting the other team lose the game, we are somehow, some way, our Yinzers are hanging around. And I'm going to take the Yinzers this week minus the 6.5 against a horrible football team called the Chicago Bears. That Justin Fields guy is not ready for prime time, folks. He is not ready. Now, granted, they scored 22 points against the Niners. You know, have a hallelujah. Thank God. They're not going to score many points against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. Our Yinzer defense, and I will be in the crowd tomorrow on Monday Night Football. Our Yinzer crowd will be out there, and our defense will shut that team down to about 10 points. We win this one 21-10. Pittsburgh Steelers, great organization, covers.
The Yinzer imitation is way better than the Dolphins song, by the way. Way better. Well done. I will say that.
In and out of my Yinzer there. I do want to say one thing. When Yins get down to Heinz Field, it is kind of costly to park, so don't try to park at the Rivers for $65. There, that's a bad organization. Circa Sports is a good organization. From what I've heard, the Rivers is the worst-run casino in America, and that was told to me by a guy who used to work there. Thank you.
Let me It's just ridiculous. So we were doing power rankings tonight on Primetime Action. Jeff and I doing on Numbers Game on Thursday. But we sort of reversed and we're like, all right, give me 32, 31, 30, and 29. And we came up with 32 was still the Texans. And then we had, 31 and 30, the Jaguars and the Lions. But coming up with a 29th ranked team, and I know Chris just said he had the Dolphins in his bottom few. But coming up with the fourth for us was really a difficult exercise, and the Dolphins were one of the candidates. The Bears were one of the candidates, too. That's what triggered
They're
me.
They're 30 on mine.
30? Barry, you have Dolphins 31.
I have Dolphins 32, Houston 31, Chicago 30, Jets 29, Jacksonville 28.
The Bears.
So you have Jacksonville ahead of the Bears?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Hmm. All right. Number three from Jeffrey.
One last point. I have slowly but surely, even though this Pittsburgh team is not good whatsoever, I'm slowly but surely resigning the fact that not only are they going to make the playoffs, they're going to have a chance to win the AFC North. As ridiculous as that is.
You know why? We have a great organization in that.
That defense is still really good there. And look, I know we like to rag on Mike Tomlin for in-game coaching, but it doesn't matter who his quarterback is, what that team is. Hell, that team was a win away from the playoffs with Duck Hodges two years ago.
Hodges.
Yeah.
But I just want to say this, though, Todd, because I brought this up with Lombardi this morning. That Chris Boswell field goal, the fact that they don't have a punter who can kick an extra point is like the most ridiculous thing ever. That dude can't kick an extra point?
But yet we still won the football game.
It's hard to make those kicks. Have you ever tried to make one?
It's me we're talking about.
I played soccer for 10 years, and the first time I ever attempted a field goal, I was so humiliated. I can't believe how much harder it is to kick a field goal.
You're comparing a middle-aged Jew to a professional punter. I'm saying he can't kick an extra point?
It's different. It's absolutely different.
It's a 32-yarder, Gil. It's not a chip shot anymore.
Bruh, he's a punter. Really? He doesn't translate to an extra point?
No, it does not.
Okay, let me ask you this. Stefanski, down 5 points with all three timeouts left.
Why did he kick the field goal?
Why did he not kick that field goal? Why did he not kick it?
They were playing good defense.
So
they were playing
stupid.
Great defense.
So stupid. He can kick a 32-yarder, man. Come on.
I don't think he can.
Apparently he can't.
I couldn't agree with you. Stefanski really surprised me. They had three timeouts. They were stopping Pittsburgh tons on defense. I was like, kick the damn field goal. You'll be down 15-13, and then you'll get the ball back and then a chance to win 16-15. That was shocking that Stefanski blew that.
This is the biggest thing of the NFL, like betting this pre-flop ATS. It's like you have to fight through the refs. Notice, obviously the Jets – helmet to helmet on Mike Hilton of the Bengals, the biggest call of the week in the NFL. So you have to fight through the refs. You have to fight through the decisions of the players. You have to fight through the coaches. So we've already talked about the fact that Urban Meyer did that weird thing. They weren't going to win anyway, but like, kick an extra point, then onside kick. Stefanski not kicking that field goal. Vic Fangio, that last sequence against Washington where they fumbled and recovered it, threw an incomplete pass to stop the clock. And then at that point, you're just like, just kneel on the ball. They fumbled it. It was like, oh, my God, Washington can win this game. Of course, Washington's not good enough to take over. And then, of course, there's like the Jets players. This gets lost in that whole thing because the call was so bad against Mike Hilton of the Bengals that the Jets, like Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore ran out of bounds.
Michael Carter, 204. He ran out of bounds. Like, he stopped the clock. And then
Michael Carter, yeah.
And then, with 2 minutes left, the Bengals still have all three of their timeouts. Michael Carter slides before the sticks. You're like, you could have won the game. Why'd you slide before the sticks? And then the fourth and goal, Mike White sneaks, and it looks like he's short, and the refs are like, first down. We'll just get to him. Why bother? Seems like a waste of time.
Well, that's the zigzag. That's the zigzag refs with their zigzag spots. You know that. That's fantastic.
We're betting on this stuff. All right, Jeff, number three.
I'll continue my favorites, and we'll go with the aforementioned Bengals laying 2.5 at home against Cleveland. Cleveland's season has been nuked by injuries. There is no argument with that. If they were healthy, I really do think they would be winning the AFC North, maybe even in the running for the one seed in the AFC with a couple of breaks here and there. But this season has just been totally destroyed by injuries. And I know with if Odell Beckham looks like he's not going to play. It looks like the Browns are going to say, Odell, just go home. We're going to figure out what to do with you.
They told him today. Yeah, Stefanski said he's not. He told the team he's not on the team anymore.
He's gone.
Go home. Stay home.
Does that work in Cleveland's advantage, or does it work completely against them in the fact that they're down pass catchers again? Anthony Schwartz got hurt at the end of the game. They are getting a little healthier at the running back position with Chubb coming back last week. But for Cincinnati, that loss was just so bad last week, where you score 31 points on the road against a team that has no offense going into that week. You give up 405 yards passing to a guy who would get confused with anyone on the street in Mike White, even though he played great. And he had an 11-point lead with 5 minutes to go against one of the worst teams in the league, and you blow it. Good bounce-back spot, in-division game, a rivalry game as well. And, again, Cleveland just so banged up. That's the main reason for Cincinnati for me laying the 2.5.
I almost feel like not having Odell Beckham Jr. unburdens Baker Mayfield.
And that could absolutely happen.
We'll see. And with all Browns games, you got to check the injury report because they are a mash unit. You have no idea who's going to be in the lineup and who isn't. Mike, number three, sir.
Todd, what is the line on Arizona and San Francisco?
I have 2.5 and 46 for Arizona favored.
Mikey's thinking. Yeah. Mikey's thinking.
Yeah.
Wheel spinning.
I'm going to play this game over the 46 and a half. Yeah, the first game was an under, but I think there's several factors.
Mikey, I'm going to give you 46, Mikey. I'm going to give you 46. Okay. It's actually 46.
All right. Okay, thank you. Kittle coming back, I think, is huge for Garoppolo in that offense. It relieves pressure off of the running game, gets them to move the ball, move the chains on third downs. I also think Arizona has something to prove off their first loss of the year against Green Bay, and they do have the extra rest because they got the short rest last week playing on a Thursday. Normally, I would stay away from this spot, but I just think both of these things conspire to make this game a much higher scoring game than the first affair in Glendale, over 46.
Over 46.
Want me to go next,
Mikey?
Gilly, because I have that same pick except the opposite.
Oh, say why. Okay, go ahead.
And his will be under 46 and a half.
Well, it is available. It is available.
Mikey, I just gave you the over 46. I'm going to take the under 46. My God.
By the way, Todd, after your boy Tomlin rolled his kicker out on that horrific fake field goal, why are they faking the field goal in a low-scoring game like that anyhow? Knowing he has no one to kick an extra point and getting poor Boswell killed, USC called
did
and
you
said,
hear me
USC
say,
called
did
and said, listen, let me finish. USC called and said, okay with us.
Did you hear me say I love Tomlin as a coach? No, you heard me talk about organizations. We have an organization.
Rooney.
Mm-hmm. We have an organization. We don't have a head coach. We have an organization.
Mike, can't you tell, like, he cannot help himself. He cannot shut up. Whatever he has to say is more important than anything you have to say.
Okay. There's actually no malice. There's no malice involved on Todd's part.
There's no malice. That's right. There's no malice, no. Gilly.
Gilly knows that better than anybody as you sat here next to me for Wednesdays on end. Trust me.
Arizona, San Francisco, under 46. The first game was 17-10, as Mikey said. I've been very impressed with the Arizona football team's defense. I know everybody loves the quarterback, and he is fantastic. I love watching the jitterbug run around and do all kind of crazy stuff on offense. He's fantastic. I love the guy. But that defense is really good. Who ever thought Arizona Cardinals would have a great defense? It's a very, very solid defense. And it's not like the Niners actually light it up on offense. I mean, they did score 33 last week. I'll give it to them. That was, Bears are not bad on defense, so I'll give them credit for that. But you know what? Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't scare me anymore. I mean, he had 18 in the muck against Indianapolis. They only scored 10 against Arizona last time. They scored 21 against Seattle, 17 against Philadelphia. I mean, come on. This is not a great offensive team. So if the Niners can keep the game low and try to slow the game down, I think we can stay under the 46 and I can pick up a game on Michael Paul.
Most of those are without Kittle, though.
Most of those are without Kittle.
Last game was Trey Lance was the quarterback at Arizona too. When you talk about 10 points, remember?
Yeah,
fair enough.
The wing T offense won't be there on Sunday.
All right.
Fair enough.
Yes, the famous Trey Lance wing T. All right, young Gil with the rare total. What is the how low is the Raiders Giants total? 40?
The Giants and the Raiders are at 46.5.
Like I said, 46.5. Give me the under. I think everything that Mikey talked about earlier about how this is going to be a very – I have a feeling the feeling around this football game is going to be very odd as we lose Todd's beautiful face from our screen. I'm going under here. I think
can
that
you
the,
still hear me?
Yeah, we can still hear you. I think the Las Vegas Raiders offense is going to need some time to adjust here. And, you know, I used to we talked about Kirk Cousins when he played with Washington back in the day. It was very difficult when Kirk Cousins was having success in D.C. to know if it was DeSean Jackson's speed opening up the field so that Kirk Cousins can hit Jordan Reed all day, every day underneath. I don't know what happens to the Raiders without the deep threat of Henry Ruggs. And again, we're talking about this from a betting perspective. I just think that offense is going to take at least a week to adjust to it. And I think that the Giants offense isn't, you know, look, they're not going to light up any scoreboard ever. And we'll have to see what the injury report is on them as well. I like the under. Give me the under 46.5 Raiders Giants.
Actually, I like that. I'm surprised I missed that one, Gilly. I like that one too. The Giants are an under team.
Yeah. So those are the three. All right. So those are our three best bets. Let's do our teaser of the week. I love my teaser. And of course, I'm the man to beat in the teaser competition. We all know that. Todd is.
Well, you're losing right now, but go ahead.
By half a game. Chris, your favorite two-leg, six-point teaser of the week.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Oh, it's only 6 points. That would disqualify the Cowboys. I would go for the Rams, which is a no-brainer.
No-brainer, yeah.
The books are going to need to fade that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to go with the San Francisco.
That's exactly my teaser.
That looks pretty solid, even though I'm not sure they win the game. And then I'm starting a new thing, which is the wrong Wong.
The wrong Wong.
The wrong Wong is, I think Philadelphia could really lay a turd sandwich. I think the Chargers could show up. And my metrics don't say it.
Isn't that the strangest line of the week?
Mm-hmm. What?
The Chargers-Eagles line. Why is it that low?
It's dead on my numbers.
Really?
I really hate. You know, you had the Chargers number one in your power rankings at one point.
We both did.
Chris, why bring up the past?
You have a love for the Chargers that is irrational.
They were never in the top 10, not one single week. Never once did they enter.
I have them ninth now, currently. That's the correct answer.
Ninth?
Ninth.
They're closer to ninth from the bottom than they are ninth to the top.
Come on.
Seriously.
Stop it. That's now you've gone crazy. Now you've gone a little
too. They are closer to ninth from the bottom.
You're ridiculous.
I'm not.
You are.
I said closer to.
I understand.
So you're saying they're 6-15th or worse.
All three of us did our power rankings tonight. All three of us have the Chargers at the bottom of the top 10. It wasn't just me.
They're nowhere near the bottom of the top 10.
I don't think nowhere near.
Don't you do your Football Outsiders interview tomorrow? Ask him.
No, I don't do that tomorrow. Next week or the week after.
Right. Yeah. Trust me, they're nowhere near the top 10.
I think they're like 12th or 13th, but they're not. I don't think they're 16th.
No, they're not sniffing.
No. Let the Todd finish. What did you say, Todd?
I said, I don't think they're 16th. They're probably like 12th or 13th, but I wouldn't put them 16th.
Thank you.
No. But, yeah, I think the Chargers could come to show up. So, listen, I'm rooting for them. I think they can be explosive.
I have your exact same teaser, Rams to the Niners, two long legs. Anybody else have that same one or no?
No.
Okay, parlay.
No.
Just going to tease two favorites down here. We'll take Baltimore down to a pick against Minnesota. I nearly laid the 6 with Baltimore as one of these picks here, but I decided to let Mikey have the stage to himself on that game from that sense. And I'm gonna put Pittsburgh down to laying a half against Chicago. That was also a consideration. And then as soon as Todd laid the 6.5 with Pittsburgh, I had to cross it off.
All right, Mike.
I'd like to interrupt just for a moment.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Before you place that, check to see if a parlay would be cheaper.
Correct. 100% correct. 100%
because they're both around 250. It could be cheaper.
Yeah.
Well,
100%.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm going to tease the Rams.
Don't you want me to go first, Mikey? You always want me to go before
you. That's true. Go ahead, Dad.
Rams and who?
Oh, wait, but I interrupted you. Should I not have interrupted you, Mikey?
Todd, you have the floor.
Jesus.
Thank you. Enough said. I did interrupt him, but now it works in his favor, so all of a sudden he loves me. Okay, here's the deal. I'm going with the Rams minus the 2. Obviously, you got to do that. Hopefully, Tannehill can't throw his way to victory. And I'm going to do something a little crazy here because I did agree with a lot of what Gilly said. I'm going to take the Chiefs minus 1.5, and here's why. I watched Jordan Love at Utah State, and I remember when he was a first-round pick and all the poobahs were talking about Jordan Love's going to be so great. I watched him. He wasn't that great at Utah State, okay, folks? So I don't know what all the love for Jordan Love is. In fact, I like the kid who was quarterback Love at San Jose State was better than Jordan Love. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be any good. And I think the Packers are mostly a team that Aaron Rodgers is good, and that's why they're good. I don't really think they're that great. Aaron Rodgers is so great that he, like, makes the whole team great. So to me, I think even the Chiefs, with all their ridiculousness, and granted, they are ridiculous. There's no doubt they're ridiculous. They can find a way against Jordan Love to win the game by 1.5.
Can I ask you a question about Aaron Rodgers for a second? First of all, we found out today he was unvaccinated. He had said in August that he was immunized, right? He was very clever about the word he used, and no one really pried. We just kind of assumed. And so we get the feeling now that maybe he had COVID and was just saying, hey, I got antibodies when he said immunized. Anyway, he was unvaccinated, and so that's why he could possibly miss more than one game. He could miss a second one, and then there's also this possibility that he has broken the rules of not wearing a mask, right, from being unvaccinated because he was acting like he was a vaccinated player. There's a scenario where he could miss more than two games. And I'm curious what you guys think about that. If that's realistic, or because he's Aaron Rodgers, they're going to, like, bend over backwards not to do this to him. I'm not sure.
But I would suggest that bending over backwards is probably going to happen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
The team knew his status at all times. So he's got a pass. They knew his status, and if rules were broken, that's on the team.
Probably true also.
Gil, I read a story that he took a non-traditional
– yes.
Right? Not a vaccine, but some sort of non-traditional treatment that isn't recognized. That's why he said he was immunized.
Alternative virus care.
Alternative. There you go. Yeah. New age.
All right, Mike, your last teaser here.
Rams-Ravens.
Rams-Ravens. I like the brevity of Mikey. Rams-Ravens. No explanation necessary. All right. And then Survivor. Are you in Survivor? Circa? Survivor?
Chris? Not anymore. I'm in Last Man Standing.
You're in Last Man Standing. You're down to the
Chris,
last
who
one.
Knocked you out? Chris, who knocked you out?
You know what? This is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my... Pittsburgh did in week two. And I started the season with Houston. I took a 3.5-point underdog week one. And so
many,
I was
how
gold.
Many entries did you start with? Just one?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? I'm glad that I'm out because it was a headache. It was already a headache by week two. But I already picked the Chicago Bears week two against Cincinnati, which would have been a great pick also. And for whatever reason, I changed it to Pittsburgh at the last minute against the Raiders, which lost. And I deserved the big kick in the butt. I didn't follow my own advice that I preached to everybody else, and that is play to win. And I sat there and I took a safer team, and it was really dumb.
Remember, I said that to you a couple times last year. I'm like, Chris, it's easy to say when you're not in Survivor what to play, but once you're in it.
But I learned from that because in Last Man Standing, I had Indianapolis available to me at +2.5 or 1.5 in Last Man Standing. And I thought about using them this week. And in Last Man Standing, I'm like, no. I'm sticking with the team I want to go, which I forget who it was.
But. So Last Man Standing, for those who don't know, Chris won the college football version of Last Man Standing at stations in 2016, was it, I believe?
I don't remember.
You don't even remember.
But this is the third year in a row I've finished in the final, I'm in the final 20.
This is the pro football version, final 20. And the format
this is...
This is
where you have to pick against the spread, though, right?
Yeah, one game a week against the spread.
One game a week against the spread.
My friend Antoine from South Point, who used to sit with me at South Point's in it also, he's right down to the end. He's constantly calling me and asking me if he should hedge or not, because he's down to the end, too.
This is important. If I had four of the remaining 20 last year, and I hedged a fair amount, if I had not dropped out and got knocked out with all four in the same week, I would have been buried in hedges because I miscalculated. You cannot overhedge on that because you're not guaranteed to lose half of people. There was a week that nobody dropped out, and there was another week only one person dropped out. That contest lasted, I think, another 5 or 6 weeks afterward, and it just kept going and going and going, and I would have been screwed with my hedge commitments.
Yeah.
So the fact that I dropped out was a blessing.
I remember you talking about it. No one is a smarter hedger than you are in these contests.
Oh, I mucked it up last year.
All right, so...
Right, and by the way, Chris, what you're saying is that you're expecting half the people to drop every week because they're going against the spread, so it's supposed to work out that way, but it didn't work out that way because everyone got hot, basically.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
So we have 14 games in the NFL. This is so Joe Pita was on a numbers game earlier this week talking about profit exchange, the new thing that he's into, but he's in Survivor. He had three entries. We sweated out the Kansas City game together here in the studio on Monday night, and he made a great point when we were trying to figure out how many people would be left at the end of Survivor. We had this conversation about 4 weeks ago. He had guessed over 200. A buddy of his had guessed 110. I had guessed 96. And his thinking was that this past week was the last week where Survivor at Circa or Survivor Anywhere was going to have a large percentage of people over entries on one team. And that's, in fact, what happened. And Cincinnati loses to the Jets, which took out a bunch of people, as we talked about earlier. If that doesn't happen, he might end up being right with the higher side of entries remaining at the end. Instead, now we enter this sort of splintered phase of the proceedings. This week 9, you can make a case for Miami if Davis Mills plays for Houston. You can make a case for Dallas if Dak plays for Dallas. New Orleans, you can make a case for them. Buffalo's the biggest favorite on the board. Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and now with the Aaron Rodgers thing, Kansas City, count that up. That, and by the way, Indianapolis Thursday night, I forgot about them. That's 8 of 14 games. 8 of 14 games. And that doesn't even include some of the smaller spreads like the Chargers that we were talking about earlier that some people might decide, forget about the spreads. I think the Chargers are the best bet on the board. So you have potentially like 9 possibilities this week. It's going to be completely splintered. And I'm just going to be honest right here. We're doing this one night earlier. I'm not sure if I would have known tomorrow morning yet either. I have no idea who I'm playing this week, genuinely. And up until this point, I've known every week exactly who I'm playing. Don't know. No clue. Mike, you're not in it.
Would anybody like to bet against me that there's going to be less than 100 people in Survivor?
Oh, no, I think there will absolutely be less than 100.
I think that it's going to be a little bit less than 100, Todd.
I do, too, yeah.
What would you guys put the over-under at?
I said 96. I'd even go lower now.
I think Gil's number was about right until that upset. Now I think it might be down closer to the 60s.
Thanksgiving is going to be carnage.
Oh, yeah.
I take under 70. I say under 70.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving and Christmas. I mean, that Christmas slate is just so brutal.
The Sunday after Thanksgiving is the worst of all of them. There's nobody to pick that week. So,
Gil, what would you make the price that nobody goes 20-0?
It's a dog. Somebody will. I'd say it's about a plus two. It's a pretty significant dog. Somebody's going the whole way. Somebody's getting there. I'm not sure. You guys aren't in it, but like, who? If you had access to every team, knowing the Christmas and Thanksgiving rules at Circa, who would you play? And let's say you didn't have the Colts a Thursday. Let's make it a little more interesting.
Most people don't because they use them against Houston.
Yeah, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Who'd you say, Todd? Steelers?
Todd was asking for the choices again.
Oh, choices. So the choices would be.
You pick anybody you want?
So no, the choices would be given. Let's rule out Buffalo and Dallas. I'm not saying that no one will take them, but let's just rule them out for the purposes of this conversation because they are Thanksgiving considerations. So it's between Miami, New Orleans, and let's say you've used Indianapolis. Miami, New Orleans, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Kansas City.
I'll take New Orleans.
New Orleans is also Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Right, they're opposite Buffalo.
Right.
That's right. I hadn't thought about that.
They're playing Buffalo?
Yeah, at New Orleans.
Well, you're not going to use
that. And you can't do the Rams, right?
Well, the Rams host the Titans. You're certainly welcome to play them.
You could, but so many people have used the Rams already.
I haven't used
them. The Rams are probably the... You haven't used them yet, Gil?
No.
You didn't use them week one. You didn't use them against Detroit.
Nope. Still have them.
That's good because so many people used them already.
When in doubt, go against Kirk Cousins.
I would take the Ravens this week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Steelers.
Yeah, that works well.
Let me just tell you guys, I'll be screaming, but you can't hear me in that stadium. There's 55,000 other people screaming with me. It's not like the college basketball games.
The notion of living through a Steelers survivor play on Monday night terrifies me.
Sounds like a fun existence.
Yeah, just remember that Washington Pittsburgh game last year.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, final two questions then.
Can I interrupt?
Please,
can I
absolutely.
Ask God why we. Does his mother cut the camera off at midnight? What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
The way this works is my mommy has rules of how late I'm allowed to stay up. Now, I got a special approbation this week for my mommy to go longer, but not with the camera. Sorry, Mikey.
She doesn't want you on there chatting up any shiksa broads after midnight.
No shiksa broads. Whatsoever. A joke for a certain portion of the audience. All right, final two questions. Of the big favorites, who is the most likely to lose outright? Here are your choices. Indianapolis, 10.5-point favorites against the Jets on Thursday night. Buffalo, 14.5 on the road against Jacksonville. We're using all the 6.5s. No, we'll use all the 6s and above. New Orleans, 6-point favorites at home against Atlanta. Baltimore, 6-point favorites at home against Minnesota. Dallas, 9.5 at home against Denver. Man, there's a lot of these. Uh-oh, Miami's in this. Oh, no. 6.5-point favorites at home against Houston. Kansas City, 7.5-point favorites at home against Green Bay. The Rams, 7.5-point favorites at home against Tennessee. And Pittsburgh, 6.5 at home against Chicago. Who's the most likely to lose outright? Chris.
Houston nudges out Green Bay by a nose for me.
So Miami and Kansas City. Miami nudges out Kansas City by a nose.
I did it in reverse.
Oh, Kansas City's absolutely the most likely.
It's 100% Kansas City. That's my answer.
I think it's Houston and Miami. I'm with Chris on that.
Mikey?
I'm going to say Dallas.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
This team, throughout the last 30 years, cannot handle prosperity. Somewhere along the line, they're going to lay an egg this year, and I'm still not convinced that defense is good enough.
Fangio going on the road, going to outcoach McCarthy in the battle of wits?
Yep. Because the two gloves will not turn the ball over. He'll just check down. He won't be one of 13 on third down.
Wow, Dallas, I did not expect that. And then final question, we live in a bizarro world, and we bet every single one of these games on the side, but we get to pass on one of them. So you must make a bet on 13 of these 14 games, but one of them where the line is so ridiculous to you, you would never consider betting it. Chris, what's the game you'd want no part of?
I think it's the Thursday night game. It's Thursday.
Jets in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I don't want anything part of that.
Jeffrey?
I don't want anything to do with the Texans and the Dolphins.
Texans and the Dolphins. Mikey?
Chiefs, Packers, because I think this Love kid is just terrible. So I can't,
he is terrible.
I can't back the Packers. He is really bad. I watched a lot of Utah State with him.
He's horrible, Mikey. How did he get picked first? How? I watched every
no
game
idea.
On Utah State. He's terrible.
Dad. It's almost funnier to hear Todd with no visual.
It was, actually.
Yeah.
It's I'm like, sorry. I watched a lot of Jordan Love. I don't think he's good. What's the last question?
Oh, my God. Have you been here before? What game do you want no part of?
Oh, I don't want any part of the Cincinnati against the Cleveland Brownies because I don't, you know, is Baker Mayfield injured or what is going on there? I don't understand the whole Cleveland Brown situation, so I don't want any part of that.
You know, on the side, you could pick a few, but I'm going to go Las Vegas and the Giants on the side. I have no idea what we're getting. No idea. Giants should have won that game Monday. Vegas, everything swirling. I'll take that one. Thank you all. Appreciate it. I know it's after midnight there. Go to bed. Mike, you got a big day tomorrow. It's a big day tomorrow for you.
Huge Mikey, day. I just want to thank you for accommodating.
Okay, and congratulations
Mikey,
again.
Thank you for all the gamblers out there for trying to help the large corporations in America, the casino corporations, continue to do a great job for America. Thank you.
You know, one of the things we're trying to do is get this stupid $1,200 taxable threshold on jackpots for slots removed. That's to help the common person, Todd.
That is good.
Can you explain that, Mikey? What is that?
You know, that threshold set on taxable jackpots and slots was set in 1977 at $1,200 and hasn't been adjusted. In real dollars today, it's closer to $7,000. We're trying to get it moved to $5,000. We're fighting it on two fronts to try to get it done through Treasury, but they're kind of punches piloting us and saying, you know, it's not us. It's got to be a law. We can't do anything about it unless Congress acts. So lobbying the legislative process as well.
How does that affect the little man?
Todd, let him explain, please. Go ahead.
Todd's right. If you win a jackpot of $1,200, you're paying taxes on it. I mean, that's not even a significant amount of money anymore in today's America because of the inflation. That jackpot threshold, they have to rise as the dollar, you know, as inflation rises. So it's not fair. It's punitive on slot players compared to other people that play. I mean, it's 5,000 if you win a jackpot in table games. You know, it's 600-1 in thresholds and sports and racing.
Mikey,
so,
wasn't it 300 to 1?
You're right. 300 to 1 and a minimum of $600 if it's a sports or race ticket. So, you know, it just doesn't coincide and it shouldn't be fair. And then from the operator standpoint, it's so labor intensive because of the large number of jackpots at 1200.
Especially with video poker. I've walked out an evening with 25 of those. Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
I have hundreds of them from 2020 or 2019.
Mm-hmm. Mikey doing God's work. Appreciate it, man. Safe travels back to Iowa as well.
Thank you.
Mike Palm.
Gilly, you didn't even trademark. That's my line, Gilly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Todd Wishnev saying, doing God's work. My bad. Apologies.
You can't use my joke, Gilly.
Oh, my God.
You don't like it when people use your lines on VSiN.
Well, because I have 50,000 of them, and they all use them like they came up with it. That's why.
The two photos look alike.
Oh, yeah, they do. That's true.
The best line of the night to finish it off.
The Skype icon versus Mike Palm with his arms folded. That's right. For Mike Palm in D.C., for Todd Wishnev in Pittsburgh, Las Vegas, Chris. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it, man. As always, glad we could do it this year, finally.
Fraud, no open bar.
No open bar. Never gave him a drink. I completely hoodwinked him. And Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, the Grove of Cleveland producers. And also, by the way, the host of Bet Center at VSiN, where he pronounces his name Parles. And again, we don't really know why. We don't know why. Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff Parlston is his real name.
Jeff Parlston.
They changed it
at Ellis Island to Parlay. They're like, Parlay. Thank you, guys. Good luck to all of you. Thanks for listening. Good luck, week 9 of the National Football League.
Yeah.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.